Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
The Jets are 3-11 through 14 games. While Aaron Glenn will be back for a second season, no doubt about that, there was no way his entire staff was going to survive this season. And today, Steve Wilks has been fired by the New York Jets. Tim McMaster, along with Zach Rosenblatt, thanks for joining us on the Flight Plan podcast. We are going to break down Wilks, potential replacements for Wilks, where did it all go wrong, all that kind of stuff, and also talk about Brady Cook and his performance on Sunday, where there was some glimpses into this guy, and maybe he's a future NFL backup, and then also talk about Tankathon, which was the only thing that went right for the Jets on Sunday was draft order, so we'll get into that. Tim McMaster with Zach Rosenblatt. Give us a like, give us a 5-star review, put some funny things in those reviews on Apple. I checked because we said we were going to read them and there's not a lot in there, Zach. So write some witty reviews. Make sure you give it 5 stars. Zach, you're back from warm Jacksonville into cold, icy New York, Jersey City. How you feeling?
Early wake up today to get back here. And then, you know, they dropped some news on me while I was trying to monitor the conference call while picking up my dog from the dog sitter, which is, it's a walk away. And so I'm outside in the cold. And all of a sudden I hear him say, I log in just as he's saying, and we've relieved Steve Wilks of his duties. And I'm like, oh crap. And so I like walked over to the side with my dog. My hands are freezing. I mean, I'm not trying to like get sympathy. It's more funny that I find myself in these situations.
Always.
And then made my way back, wrote the story, podcast. Here we are. But, you know, we'll get into it, obviously. But I was surprised that it happened now. 3 games left. It is a kind of weird time, but not as weird when you look at the context of that game yesterday. I mean, when you allow the Jaguars to score on 8 of 9 possessions to start a game and Trevor Lawrence sets a record as the first quarterback to ever throw for 300 yards, 5 touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and rush for 50 yards. Like he's the first quarterback to ever get all of those. And that's not just like a random let's pick and choose. That's like a pretty crazy stat line. So.
He looked like a Hall of Famer, Zach.
Yeah. Just and they made him look that way. And so
Trevor Lawrence.
And so somebody had to take the fall, I guess. And I think Wilks was on the way out anyway. I thought Glenn was going to give him to the end of the season, but I think the last 2 weeks were bad enough that like he's like, all right, let's see what Chris Harris has, because I think 2 weeks ago he was not planning on firing before the end of the season. Like I'm very confident about that. And then this game in particular, but the Dolphins game too, like the combination of the two of them, still no interceptions. I think they had 1 sack in the 2 games, like just an absolute brutal showing from the defense. I started to get the sense that the players, I don't think there was going to be a mutiny or anything, but I don't think they're really buying into what he was selling anymore as like a play caller. And I don't know that they believed they're being put in position to play. At the end of the day, they need to perform and they haven't done that. And there's a lot of problems with this roster, I think, right now. And I think there's a lack of leadership on this defense, which we'll get into. But surprised, but not surprised is what I've been saying. Like, it was a surprise that it happened now, but not a surprise that it happened.
You should not allow 48 points in an NFL football game.
Yeah, like, I think that's never, a good advice. Yeah,
should never happen. Well, how about the timing, though? And like, I mean, obviously this defense, right, has gotten worse from a talent standpoint. Quinn and Williams is gone. Sauce is gone. Like, clearly, like, those are two Pro Bowl caliber, all pro caliber players that are gone. So like, the defense is not going to be as good as it was earlier in the year. Not that it was good earlier in the year. So in some ways, like, you would expect them to be worse. So as far as the timing goes, there's a lot of reasons to do this, right? There's like, get a jump on finding the next guy because you know this isn't the right guy. There's also just the, like, someone has to be thrown to the wolves. So which of those reasons, or is there another reason to do it now?
I really do think a big reason is the way this last game went. Like, you know, Aaron Glenn yesterday, like, so I should have, like, sorry. I should have thought of this more like in the moment, but like, so he did have a quote where he said, we brought him in to run his scheme. Like, he kept emphasizing his scheme, which I more interpreted like, we are going to let him do that through the end of the year. Like, the way he kind of was talking, it seemed like he's like, we're going to let him run his scheme. Whereas I don't think Aaron Glenn went out of his way as much to say, this is Steve Wilkes' scheme. I think even in the offseason, Wilkes certainly did. I'm pretty sure Glenn did. I have to go back, like, talked about how they were trying to, like, you know, meld their two schemes together. Maybe they changed those plans as the season got there and they realized it was getting too complicated for the players. And there's a lot of communication issues on this defense. So maybe it was too, you know, overwrought or something like that. But, I think the biggest reason you do it now is, number one, you hope to give a jolt to these players because they're not playing with a lot of juice right now. And I think the second thing is it gives you a chance to evaluate someone in Chris Harris, who would have at least been under consideration anyway in the offseason. And now you get a 3-game trial run. It's kind of an impossible spot for a guy in his first play calling job. Glenn did allude to them letting him call plays in the preseason at one point. We didn't know that previously, I don't think. But getting thrown in 3 games left with a depleted defense that is pretty lacking in talent, and 2 of their last 3 games are against the Bills and Patriots. Like, it's like, if you're going to earn your stripes, this is a good way to do it. If you can go out and lead this defense to doing something. But on the flip side, I don't know how many changes you can make midstream this late in the season to a scheme, to a philosophy. Maybe they're more aggressive. If they all of a sudden get like 3 picks or 1 pick or 2 picks against the Saints, everybody's going to love Chris Harris because they have 0. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that would be the thing you hope for most, because he did play in the NFL. He did force turnovers. The vibe I get on Chris Harris, just from reading up on him and asking around, is that he's a really good teacher, is the thing you hear a lot. So we'll see what that amounts to. But yeah, you know, I think Aaron Glenn saw an opportunity to give a young coach a chance. He saw that he needs to step in before the ship really goes astray. And now I think there's going to be a target on Aaron Glenn's back now more, because, you know, he was a guy that was a defensive coordinator. The defense in Detroit was inconsistent. It got better by the end for sure. And he hired a defensive coordinator and it failed miserably. This defense is terrible. So now his next hire has to be the right one, because you don't get 3 shots at it. So, you know, he's under a lot of pressure to turn this defense around. And if it doesn't turn around, and there's not a lot of talent on the defense right now, I don't think, like, I have a hard time believing they're going to be great next year. But if it doesn't look like it's getting better to start next year, they're going to lose a lot of games again. And so, you know, it's a decision that Aaron Glenn, I'm sure, knew the consequences of it, and, you know, the target that he's creating and the pressure he'll be under now. But it was the right move to make at the same time.
You said you can't change the scheme with 3 games left in the season. That doesn't make sense. So how do you do things differently? Like, I guess they could blitz more. They could blitz less. They could just motivate the players to play better. That would be that would be a big deal, right? If Chris Harris comes in and suddenly these guys are playing with like some fire that we haven't seen. But I imagine it's going to be the same defense we're going to see over the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think so. But if the goal is to force turnovers, and I think that's probably the number one course of action is we want to force turnovers. I imagine it'll be aggression, maybe more blitzing, maybe more disguises, maybe more creativity on the back end. The problem is they're really, really rough on the back end right now because AZ Thomas was just knocked out for the year, which is really tough because you wanted more time to evaluate him. I thought he showed something, but not enough to where I can be like, oh, he's for sure their number two next year. Stevens is fine, as we've said. I think Malachi Moore.
He didn't have a great game Sunday, though, Stevens.
No, he didn't. He did not. Yeah. Neither did Quantes Stiggers, who looked pretty rough. They were going at him. Malachi Moore, I think, has been very inconsistent. Tony Adams won't be here next year. So, you know, he is the defensive backs coach at the end of the day, though. So if you're going to believe in anybody's ability to get the most out of the DBs, you would think it would be Chris Harris. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that he can do a whole lot of wholesale changes. So that's why it's a big reason why it's a tough spot for him to be in. But maybe just a new voice, a new energy can bring a new energy to this defense, ultimately.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
All right, let's look to the future a little bit. He's one option. You said that. And now they get like a little glimpse into Chris Harris on what he can do. You can see how he motivates these guys, how they play for him and that kind of stuff. But then if you broaden the possibilities for next year and where this team could look at defensive coordinator, I know it's only been a couple hours, but have you been able to kind of like put together a short list for us?
Yeah, this is not even from hearing necessarily around the league. I haven't been able to dig in just yet on that, but some that make sense, some that I don't think will be realistic. I'll say, I don't know that this is the most appealing job on paper. Yeah. Like, I mean, we'll have to see like what you're going up against, but you do have a defensive coach. Glenn does give you the freedom to call plays, but you're coming off a season where it was terribly. So how much of a leash do you have if you're coming into the situation? Who are your game breakers? Who are your playmakers? They don't really have anyone that you can point to and be like, that guy's like, I'm really excited to coach him. Like, frankly, you don't have a single guy that you can say that about if you're looking from the outside in. Anybody can say, oh, we have pieces. Everybody does this time of the year when a coach gets fired and everybody's trying to carry water for GMs. Like, oh, they have pieces. Every team has pieces. No team has no good players. Like that. Everybody's saying the Giants and the people saying the Giants and the Titans have all these pieces. Like, they have a normal amount. They don't have more than anyone else. If they did, they wouldn't be so terrible. So my point being, like, there's not a lot here. And you might look at it like, okay, if they don't get the number one pick and the Raiders do, so that means they're not going to get Mendoza. Then that means maybe they draft Arvell Reese. Like, maybe that is that enough to appeal to a big name. Anyway, I wanted to keep that in mind for when I say these guys probably aren't. Like Raheem Morris, like, I don't see why he would come here. My prediction would be he'd go to the Rams and Chris Shula gets a job somewhere else as a head coach, go back to the Rams. I think Morris is a great DC. And also he's very close to Jeff Ulbrich, who I don't know had the best experience at the end here. So I don't know. He's going to be dying to come here. I'd say Jonathan Gannon, he'd be interesting, but I don't know. I think he'll have opportunities. And I don't see that happening, especially if Lou Anarumo becomes a head coach, I could see him going with Shane Steichen. Jim Schwartz is the big name. Like, if I don't know that he would come here, but if he became available, if the Browns fired their staff, I would do everything I could to hire Jim Schwartz because I think he's one of the best DCs in the league. He's put together great seasons on a terrible Browns team. He was a DC for an Eagles team that won the Super Bowl. He was a head coach for the Lions at one point. Like, I think he has everything on the resume to where Aaron Glenn can be like, okay, you run the defense and I'm going to figure everything else out. Like, he's that good. I don't see him taking this job. So the more realistic ones, Al Harris in Chicago, former Packers cornerback. He's the Jets need to force turnovers and the Bears lead the NFL with like 21 interceptions. So that's a good place to start. He's a passing game coordinator. If he wants to stay with like the Lions tree, Deshae Townsend is the passing game coordinator in Detroit. I'd say, Jim Leonard. He's kind of a big name being thrown around right now by Jets fans. Makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. I mean, he played here. He played for Rex Ryan. He was a DC at Wisconsin. He's the defensive passing coordinator in Denver. Worst coaching staffs you could lean on than the Denver Broncos coaching staff. And so he's kind of like a perfect fit. I don't know if he wants the job or if the Jets want him or if Glenn has any ties to him or if that matters, but I'm interested in him. Up and coming one that I think is very interesting to me is Christian Parker on the Eagles. He's considered like a rising star in the business. And again, would he want to hitch his wagon to this team? I don't know.
And he may be on a ship that's sinking anyway. Yes, so maybe
that's true. An interesting one to me is the Titans defensive coordinator, Denard Wilson, would be the last one I would say. Their defense has been pretty competitive for a really bad team, and they already fired their coach. They might want to keep him. I don't know, but he'd be someone I'd keep my eye on. It's going to be interesting to see if Glenn's going to prioritize experience or just getting a innovative young mind. I do think the experience thing is a little overblown. Like Connor and I were talking about this earlier. Like the best coordinators had to be a first time coach at some point. Like Ben Johnson wasn't a play caller until he was. Like that's just like how it works. So like just because somebody's done it before, maybe there's a reason why they're available right now also. So I wouldn't only prioritize experience. That's why someone like Jim Leonard or Christian Parker.
I think really Jets fans are still have like PTSD from Mike LaFleur though, when you talk about like the inexperienced coordinator.
Well, he's aged well though. He's aged well though, compared to the
right. Right. But that's the thing. He aged once he had that experience under his belt.
Yeah.
Well, once he didn't have Zach Wilson.
Yeah, he was always good without Zach Wilson, that's for sure. Yeah.
All right, well, that's a pretty good list. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on it. I assume none of that's going to happen until the offseason. The good thing is, I think while the defense has been what it has been, I think we obviously feel great about special teams in that quarter, like arguably the best special teams in the NFL, maybe not arguably. And Banjo and what's happened there. And I think as the season's gone on, feel okay about the offense. This is at least what they do, not necessarily the amount of points they're scoring.
Yeah, like there's definitely some moments where it's like, why are you running to the outside on fourth and two? Like I just run it up the middle, but or at least I don't know. Like, I mean, I know everybody Membo like missed the block and whatever, but and Breece got easily tackled. But anyway, I do think Tanner has shown signs that he can be the right guy. We need to let him have a chance to have at least mildly competent quarterback. Although we've been saying that for OCs around here for a long time. So, and they have never gotten the quarterback. So, the best one that the Jets had was probably Brian Schottenheimer in the Rex Ryan years. And he's looking pretty good in Dallas right now. So, I think Tanner's fine. He's safe. Banjo, again, looks like a stud. Their special teams. Isaiah nearly had another touchdown.
Have had another touchdown.
That was a BS call. That was a BS call.
That was rough.
So that was unfortunate. But yeah, I think the coordinators have been good. I will say, I would think this isn't going to be the last coaching change they make. Like, I don't think it'll be significant, but like the linebackers have been a disaster. Like, can you really justify bringing back your linebackers coach, Aaron Curry? I think, the quarterbacks, like, how do you feel about Charles London? He didn't have a lot to work with, but it's not like he did much to make Justin Fields gain confidence. And, we'll see how they develop Brady Cook. But, I think people question the Charles London hire when it happened because he didn't have experience as a QB coach. So I do wonder if they're going to make some more changes on the coaching staff. But that won't come till the end of the season, I would say.
All right, so we're heading to a new look defense. Let's talk about the offense, which was the Brady Cook show on Sunday. And Zach, you look at the numbers, 22 of 33, 176 yards, one touchdown, three picks. Three picks is not good. Some of those were real bad. Didn't get some help from his receivers again also, though. Like, it'd be nice to get some fight out of the receivers on the interceptions. But overall, he still seems like a guy who's not afraid to throw the football, to take a shot at things. And I don't know, he looked like a guy that I could envision as a backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And that's what you want for a guy like that, because then you have him on a cheap salary. I think I've described him as the perfect QB3 for next year. Like, so you get,
and then maybe,
let's say
maybe
you draft somebody.
Perfect world, he becomes a QB2 in 2 years,
as Connor, he reminded Connor of, I hate quoting Connor, but he reminded him of Tommy DeVito. Like a guy that, like, he's never going to be like your starting quarterback, but he's like, he can go out there and do the job. And so that, you know, that's what you want, whether he's on the 53 or not. Like, I think he's someone worth developing. I think he's lacking in like physical talent. Like, I don't think he's, you know, got a great arm. I don't think he's really, really fast, but he can move and he can throw, willing to throw. I think he's really smart. He's got some moxie. I think his teammates really like him. Like, Isaiah Williams loves him. It sounds like they used to work out together back in the day in St. Louis when Isaiah was a quarterback, actually. But he told this story in practice about how they were doing competitive period, starters against starters, and like Brady Cook huddled them up and he changed the play in the huddle, and it was a play that they didn't even, he like drew it up himself. Like, it wasn't a play they had in the playbook, and it led to a first down. And they talk about his command of the huddle, which is not nothing for an undrafted rookie. And like we talked about, I think last week, he's not as bad as a lot of the bad guys that have come through here. Like, he's not Tim Boyle. He's not Luke Falk. He's not, you know, maybe he's like more in the Bryce Petty range, I guess. But I think, I hope they start in the rest of these games, both for the sake of their draft. But like, I don't think they're going to win with him as their quarterback, but you get a look at him. Maybe his teammates can help him a little more. Like, the receivers have been inconsistent. A.D. Mitchell actually had a really good game. Like, we should shout him out. I thought he made some really impressive
And on
catches.
The touchdown pass, I thought it was cool, because you talked about the team loving him, and you could tell A.D. was like, I caught that guy's first career touchdown pass.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a cool moment. I think Isaiah Williams he's shown something a little bit on offense too. Like, he's at least going to be a depth guy and one of the best returners I've ever seen in my life. But you know, Breece Hall has been rough. I think somebody pointed this out. Breece's rushing, as most of his good games have come with Fields at quarterback, which, you know, there's probably something to be said about having a running quarterback. Breece has been rough. I think he's banged up. He did miss a couple practices, or he was limited. He missed a practice, was limited, I believe. But I just don't think he's looked very explosive, and he's been pretty inconsistent, frankly, and he's going down pretty easy, I would say, tackle wise. So I don't know what's going on there, but Isaiah Davis looked better than him yesterday. So I think the O-line was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible, but he just needs better support from the
defense. Speaking of the O-line, we haven't talked about Josh Myers.
Oh yeah. Contract. Josh Myers.
That happened like an hour after we recorded last episode.
It did. Yeah. I can hit that real quick. I mean, it's smart move. Like, I don't think he's like a stellar player or anything, but I think he's just a solid NFL center, experienced guy. You, at this point, you're able to at least say we conceivably have four of our five starters locked in for next year. He's not getting paid a lot. I think it's like $6 million a year and only half of it like guaranteed. So, smart move, you know, get ahead of it. Like, now this leaves you wondering, like, so are they going to come back with AVT or John Simpson? Because I don't think you bring back both.
Right.
Or maybe bring back neither, but I think you bring back one of those guys. I personally would, honestly, I know maybe it's controversial. I don't know. I would lean AVT because I think his talent is higher. And then you draft somebody or sign a veteran that can, like, you know, as a backup plan or whatever it is. But I'd like AVT on that line. And I think he can play left guard just fine. And you have Tippmann locked in at right guard. He's been really good. And Membo, you know, he had a couple bad blocks, but I still think he's been really good. Olu's really settled in nicely. And so it's just a solid group. I don't think it's a great offensive line. Like, I think anybody like suggesting that is like speaking a little too highly of them. But I thought it was smart to re-sign him. And I'm curious if there's anyone else set to hit free agency that they're going to extend early.
And you say it's not a great offensive line, which I think is true, but one of your tackles is a rookie. The other tackle's in his second year, right?
Exactly.
So like this same offensive line could get better and better and better. And AVT, the other thing, and I don't know if it's a good idea because in some ways maybe it's led to some of the injury issues, but like he's also a guy that you can move around if you have to, right? Like that's an extra value for him is like he's been able to sub in at a tackle. He's been at the, you know, you can play him. Obviously his guard is where you want him to be, but like he's a guy that has the talents and ability to move over if you have to, if you have injury issues that aren't him. And so that's something that I think you don't, you know, that would give him the upper hand if you're making that decision.
Also, like the Jets last few years haven't really drafted almost any offensive lineman on day three. It feels like draft somebody and develop them too. Like develop a guy who can be your backup and maybe become a starter down the line. And so that way you draft AVT and you kind of protect yourself, draft somebody, sign a like, okay, veteran, and then feel pretty good about your O-line, like eight deep or whatever.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Last thing to touch on in this episode is the draft order. Big day for the Jets as far as that goes. We were texting back and forth as the game went. And, you know, they moved up to sixth initially. And then the thought that they'd settle back in. But then the Saints win. So the Commanders win a game we expected them to win, beating the Giants. So the Jets jump them, and then the Saints win a game we didn't expect them to win. And the Jets obviously still have the Saints on their schedule. So that's going to be key, because if they end up beating the Saints and then there's a tiebreaker, they'll be right back where they were. But right now, fifth in the draft order. I think when you look at the numbers, you know, the Browns have the same record as them and a much worse strength of schedule. So they're not going to naturally just hop over the Browns. But when you look at the teams ahead of them, Tennessee has a better strength of schedule, actually. So if Tennessee managed to win a game, the Jets would hop over them. There's a chance, I think, they could get up to four. I can't imagine them moving into the top three.
I mean, I could see it only because the Giants and Raiders play each other. So like that's coming up.
You know what? That's a great point.
Yeah. Like that's honestly the most important game on the Raiders, Jets schedule.
The Raiders' strength schedule is better than the Jets. So if the Giants beat the Raiders, the Jets would hop over them with the same amount of wins. So yeah, so maybe they can get to the top three. I forgot that the Giants
are. I don't see them going to like one. I think that's unrealistic, and probably two, But you know, I think getting to three or even four, like the higher you can get in the order, the less you're going to have to give up to move up if you have to do that. Like, so if you're at three and you're moving up to one, you just have to give up three and, like, you know, whether it's your second round pick this year and a second next year, or like whatever it is, like it's just going to be so much less because a team.
If you can
like,
get okay, into a world where you're not giving up both first rounders.
Yes.
Gold, right?
The fewest first rounders you have to give up, the better. Like that's just the reality. Like the future picks are more valuable than the current ones. If you're going up from seven or six, it's going to be a lot harder. Because by the way, like everybody can just say like, oh, the Jets can just move up. They're not the only team that's going to want to. Like, so the Raiders are going to want to. The Raiders are probably going to be in the top three. So like, if you get outside of the top three, the Raiders need a quarterback. The Raiders are the scariest team, I think. The Browns too, because the Browns are very willing to maneuver. They're Andrew Berry will trade and trade and trade until there is no end. And so, you know, I think these next few weeks are pretty crucial. Like I think the Jets are going to lose out personally. Maybe if Tyrod plays, I'd feel better about their chances. I think you play Brady Cook, hope he shows something while also losing. And it's like a win-win kind of, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I keep thinking about like there's a good chance they end with 3 or 4 wins and they don't even really have a shot at the first pick, which is pretty tough.
Well, the thing, I was just going to say, if the Giants are 1 and the Jets are like 3, the Giants aren't going to trade that pick to the Jets, right?
Like, I think they would.
It's just too much to live with. You think so? You think you?
Yeah, I think they would.
Because then they say they
think,
do that.
I think both teams know that they both stink. Like, I don't think it matters that much.
I'm just thinking from a PR standpoint. Like, you trade the pick to the Jets, they take Mendoza, he becomes a star. Just the possibility of it happening. Like, I don't know if he's a star. We talked to Dane last week. He was like, there's a really good chance Mendoza is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Like, not, he wasn't talking about like, this guy is elite, right? But if he was, and then like Giants fans are always like, we gave them that guy. I don't know.
I think maybe it's not as big of a deal because they have Jackson Dart, I would say, but I think if it was the flip, I think Woody probably wouldn't want to trade with the Giants for like that. But I don't think the Giants would do that, especially because you're going to have someone in Joe Shane, if he still has his job. I don't know that he's going to, but if he does, he's going to be GMing for his job. So, you know, whatever you can do to like make your roster.
So he's going to take the best offer. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would think. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting question. And like I said, though, the Raiders are more likely to be higher in the order and they're going to have probably the ability to move up there. And so would the Giants want to drop from 1 to 5 or would they want to drop from 1 to 2 or 1 to 3? Like,
you know, well, you drop 1 to 2. Yeah. Or 3. Yeah. And, but if you drop 1 to 5, maybe you're getting more. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
But it depends. Like is there a prospect where you're like, we think this is the best prospect in the draft? Like, is it Arvell Reese? Is it whoever?
I mean, I guess ideally, if you're the Giants, you have the number one pick and you don't need a quarterback. Your goal is to make a trade that allows you to get the best player who's not a quarterback and also other picks. That would be what you'd be shooting for.
I'll just say on a personal level,
I could talk about the draft order all day, Zach.
I mean, look how much time we spend doing it. I hope for our sake and Jets fans' sake that they get Mendoza because it'd be fun to cover him. And if not, like the options are pretty bleak, frankly, because if Dante Moore comes out, then it kind of changes the equation a bit. Like he's like a big X factor here.
I think that's the best case scenario just because then the number two pick has more value. Yeah. Right? You figure he's number two.
And then you have two shots at two bites at the apple or whatever however you want to say it. Whereas if it's only Mendoza and Ty Simpson, like it's pretty bleak. Like, so you can't play Ty Simpson as your starting quarterback in week 1 next year. And who are you going to play?
You probably can't play more there either, but he'd be exciting. By the way, 60 Minutes last night did a big Indiana feature, which was interesting. And they, you know, long interview with Mendoza and the coach and all that was fun. But I think you'd have a good time covering Mendoza from all the interviews I've seen. He just seems like a quirky, fun kind of guy.
Yeah, I think he's a very interesting guy and I think he's pretty good, so.
Yeah, and he's seems like a leader, seems like a good fit. I'm hanging on here because right now we have 97 people watching. I was hoping to get to 100. Like standing the feed. I think we're going to have to say goodbye. All right, this has been fun. We will be back later in the week. We were going to go with a fun guest. That's getting pushed back a little bit, but we will, I think, have next that week. Down the road a little bit next week. So we will, as I said, we were leaving. The numbers just dropped, so oh well. But we will be back later this week. We'll let you know when. I'm thinking Wednesday, maybe, Zach, but we'll see. We'll see what we can figure out. And we'll get everybody ready for next week's game and hopefully not talk too much about that, but other stuff, maybe more information about the defensive coordinator position will arise. Lots to get to here. Thanks for joining us here on Flight Plan.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No